Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Here is Jeff Pilgrim to commence another chapter of Office Wife.
Well, I'm free. Acquitted. Yesterday I was found not guilty of embezzling the funds of Tressa de Bendigo and Company. Mr. Justice McCameron listened to Stella's story in court, took a look at the evidence, and summed up very much in my favor. And if I'd been in Harry Palmer's shoes, I wouldn't have liked one or two remarks he made in the process. Exactly what to do now, I'm not sure. I have to find a job, and that's not going to be easy. I was acquitted, all right, but I certainly wasn't cleared. And I can see heads wagging all over town and chaps saying, there was something pretty fishy there. Let someone else take that fellow Pilgrim on his staff. True. First things first, I guess. That means a visit to Mr. Tressa de Bendigo.
Well, I tell them to send you up, Pilgrim. But I've no time to waste on you. What do you want?
There's a rather amusing situation coming up.
Anything amusing about your affairs is more than I can imagine.
Well, you know they froze my bank account, don't you? Well, this morning it was unfrozen again, with the $2,000 I'm supposed to have swindled you for still in it.
I'm still finding it easy not to laugh.
Well, I've come to pay you, that's all. What strikes me as funny is the fact that, seeing I'm acquitted, as far as I know, I can keep it. It hasn't been proved the money's yours. I could quite easily say I won it on the second favourite last Saturday.
You're here to pay me £2,000?
Less 150 guineas for Guy Stubbs. You don't mind paying my costs, do you, Mr. Bendigo?
Well, I'll be hanged.
I must be the most obliging embezzler you ever had in your firm. Go to all that trouble to chisel you for thousands, stand trial, get an acquittal, saying the money's mine, and then pay it back to you. Still not amused, Mr. Bendigo?
Oh, look here, Jeff. Oh, well, confound it.
Mind if I use your pen? Thanks. That's 150 guineas. 157.10, isn't it? Pay Tressa de Bendigo sum of £1,842. There you are, sir. With my compliments. You know, that's the largest check I've ever drawn.
By jingo. That's one thing I never thought of. You could have kept this money.
I could have paid my own costs, too, but I'm not that generous.
I tell you straight, I don't know what to say.
Don't trouble. I can understand Marcia. Her reasons are sorted by jealousy. But you, being taken in by a crawling snipe like Palm.
That's enough of that, Jeff.
I suppose it is. I don't want to lose my temper. But you can give my regards to my wife if you like. And tell her I'm going back to the flat.
Now look here, Jeff.
Save it, Mr. Bendigo. I didn't pay you that money to get 2,000 quid's worth of contrition.
Confound it! Curse and blast it to the devil! Percy! Percy Fleming!
Yes, Tressida?
Come to my office. Come to my office at once. And bring that, that calendar diary thing of yours with you.
Good gracious me, Tressida. Who ever heard of such a thing? Pilgrim paid you that money? Dear me.
Think back a bit, Percy. What day was it that post office box was taken? 16th of January, wasn't it?
Yes, the 16th.
Where was Harry Palmer that day?
Why, here, of course.
Well, turn your diary up. See if there's any sort of a note of it. Palmer had any days off lately?
Upon my soul. He did take a day off to see a house in the country for some friends.
Well, come on, look it up. What day was Palmer absent?
January the 27th, 22nd, 17th. Well, bless my heart and soul. Just look at that.
That the day?
Palmer took his day off on the 16th of January, the very day Jeff Pilgrim started his swindle. What an extraordinary coincidence.
Coincidence? How could I have been such a fool not to ask you before? Where's Palmer now?
He's not in the building, of course. You suspended him, most unjustly, I thought.
Get him on the phone. Get his home number, Percy. Get him here as soon as you can. We want a word with Mr. Palmer.
You poor boy, Harry. So you've been suspended, have you?
Yes, Bendigo, the old goat. I tell you, Angela, I'm worried stiff.
I don't see why you should be. They can't pin anything on you. If you cry on Marcia's shoulder a little, she'll ask her uncle to be nice. I'm sure she will.
Yes, but old Percy Fleming. Now that Bendigo's uneasy about Jeff, he might start poking around. What if Fleming happened to mention that I took that certain day off?
Darling, thousands of people take days off. Why should that point to you?
I told Fleming I was going to the hills. I pitched him some yarn about seeing a house for some friends.
Well, so what? The guilty flee where no man pursueth. And you've been very naughty, you know.
I wish I was sure no man pursueth me.
Oh, look, Harry, you're beginning to bore me. I like my crooks bold if they're going to be bad. Come on, cheer up. Could you dance to that piano?
I loathe afternoon dancing. I'd better go back to the flat.
Harry, darling, you go back to your flat when I let you. The trouble is, you're scared stiff because you can't prove you went anywhere else but Port Kensington on the 16th of January, aren't you?
I get the flutters every time I think of it.
Silly man. Little Angela will look after you. I have to. I'm on your side. And I'm going to be a wonderful help. Because you won't be able to marry Marcia and keep me in mink if they fling you into jail. Order some more gimlets. And I'll tell you how to cope with old Bendigo.
Ah, Palmer, I got hold of you at last. Been trying all the afternoon.
Didn't get home till 4:30, sir.
I see. Now, cast your mind back a month or 6 weeks. You took a day off on the 16th of January, is that right?
Well, I took a day off in January, but I'd have to look up the actual date. It was a Friday, if I remember.
It was the 16th, all right. I have it from Mr. Fleming. Something else happened on the 16th. Did you know that?
What?
The Port Kensington part of the swindle was worked. That's the day someone took the post office box.
Oh, the same day, was it?
Where were you that day, Palmer?
Well, I told Mr. Fleming...
Never mind what you told Mr. Fleming. Where were you?
I went to the hills, Mount Greenby, actually.
Can you substantiate that?
Don't think so.
Well, you can't, eh?
Why the deuce should I, sir? Why should I be expected to give an account of myself?
Things are adding up.
Mr. Bendigo, I don't understand you.
If you could show me definitely that you didn't go down the peninsula that day...
Wait a minute, I've just remembered. I ran into someone at Mount Greenby. Someone I think you'll know. I think she might remember.
Who?
Mrs. Angela Tennant.
Miss Bennett, get Mrs. Angela Tennant on the phone, please. Now, just a minute. What's her number, Palmer, do you know?
No, but it's in the book.
You'll find her in the book. Tennant. Angela Tennant. Now then, we'll just see whether she backs you up or not, Palmer. If she does, then I'll see Benny Puller about that letter on your desk. And if he can clear it up, you can start work yet again, with my best wishes. But, once and for all, I must know definitely. I must get rid of these nagging doubts, Palmer. And I'm going to.
Hello, Marcia. How did you know I was going to be here?
Jeff, but I didn't know.
I told your uncle this morning I'm moving back here to the flat. You don't want to do?
No. No, I'm staying on with Uncle Tresidor and Aunt Harriet.
Yes, I thought you would. But sing out if I'm intruding. That'd never do, would it?
I don't want the flat, Jeff. You're welcome to it. I only called to see if there were any letters.
And there was a bill, I'll bet.
Oh. Well, I don't suppose there's much point in me hanging about.
No. Did you enjoy the trial?
Oh, please, Jeff, don't be horrid.
Well, come along, my dear. Thought you might want to congratulate me or something. Generally, when they catch you out on a fraud, they hit you for six. I must be better at it than I thought.
Being as beastly as you can.
Not quite. You'd better run along, Marcia. We have nothing to talk about now but our divorce. Have you given it any thought?
Not yet.
Well, shake it up, Ted. You can't marry Palmer till you get rid of me, you know. How are we going about it?
I haven't any idea.
Well, let me know when you're set. You'll have to do the divorcing. It's the done thing, isn't it? Gentlemen always let their wives divorce them. What's the matter?
Nothing.
You're not going to cry, are you?
It's not that you know I'm not. I won't cry.
You must go, Marcia. The last thing I want to endure now is an emotionally unstable woman. I'm sorry, but there's no sense in gilding the pill.
All right, then. All right.
One thing. I must ask you this, Marcia. It's very important for me. Does Angela Tennant keep a diary?
Does she what?
Keep a diary.
Yes. What on earth do you want to know for?
Because I happen to know that Angela has some sort of a club to wave over Palmer's head. Because I'm right up against it, and those two, the smallest thing might help. Because even the cunningest people are capable of being the biggest fools. And they sometimes put the most revealing things in their diaries. And because I'm going to straighten you out about me, Marcia, it was the last thing I do in my life. That's all. You can go. Down to the stairs, Marcia. She wants a divorce, but weeps whenever it's mentioned. Anyway, she's not my wife anymore. Not really, so I try to understand her. I have other irons in the fire. Two of them. Harry Palmer and Mrs. Angela Tennant. They've had their innings. From now on, it's going to be my turn.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.